Jeremiah chapter 17. I want tonight to look with you at Jeremiah's theology of the human heart. Jeremiah's theology of the human heart. That is a key theme in the writings of Jeremiah. I think the word heart, certainly in our English translation, the word heart occurs around about 60 times in the prophecy. And the key verse on this theme is found in this chapter 17 and the verse 9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? So that's the key verse. And oftentimes when this chapter is read, and this prophecy is read, and maybe you highlight verses that stand out, very often this is one of those verses that is highlighted. But it's not the only verse in this chapter about the heart. There are several other verses where the heart is referred to. It's referred to there in verse 1. The sin of Judah is written with a pen of iron and with the point of a diamond. It is graven upon the table of their heart. That's the decorated table. It's engraven upon their heart. And then there is the verse 5. Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. That's the departing heart. And then in verse 9, the text we've already mentioned, the heart is deceitful above all things. That's the deceitful heart. And desperately wicked. That's the depraved heart. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. That's the deep heart. And so those are our five heads tonight, as we look at the prophet's theology of the human heart. First of all, it is a decorated heart. It's engraved. Because it says in the verse 1 there, the sin of Judah is written with a pen of iron and with the point of a diamond. It is graven upon the table of their heart. Here's a heart. It's the human heart. It's covered with texts. There are words engraved upon it. The human heart here is compared to a table. Now, this table is not something you eat upon, but something you write upon, a tablet. Because in ancient times, text would often be displayed on tablets. The tablets may be made of wood, or they could be made of clay or of stone. But they were in the form of a flat table, and the text was engraved upon it. And the Bible says the human heart is a tablet. It's a table. Did you know that? Did you ever think of your heart like that? That there is writing going on it? Writing upon it all the time? God is writing. It's been written on your heart. And your heart is being inscribed and engraved. Your heart is receiving impressions all the time. And those impressions can be read. This is every heart. This is the human heart. This is what the Bible teaches about it. This is what Jeremiah's theology is about. And so I think we have to stop our imaginations about our hearts. Because the imaginations of our hearts are deceitful. We can't listen to what our hearts say about our own hearts. We have to listen to what God says about our hearts. And that's what we're doing tonight. You want to know what God says about your heart. Not what you think about your heart. Or not what your heart tells you about your heart. but what God's word says about your heart. That's what we need to know. What God thinks of it. What God would have us to know about it. Theology of Jeremiah of the heart is God's theology. It's the truth. And we need to know the truth. And the truth is, our hearts are tablets. And there is text on the tablets of our hearts. Now, the picture of the heart as a tablet is not uncommon in the Bible. We read, for example, in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 3, concerning mercy and truth, that as well as binding them about our neck and tying them around us so that we'll be thinking about them all the time, it also says, write them upon the table of thine heart. And so here again is the idea of a heart as a table, and you have to write text on it. You have to write mercy, and you have to write truth. Write them on your hearts. And then Proverbs chapter 7, verse 2. Keep my commandments. Keep my law as the apple of thine eyes. Bind them and tie them around your fingers so that you'll not forget them. And write them upon the table of your hearts. Of your heart. Remember how Paul said to the Corinthians that you are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us. Christ has been doing some writing, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but on fleshy tables of the heart. That's what God was doing. Whenever Paul was preaching the gospel, the Spirit of God was writing. He was writing away, and he was writing the gospel and good things and grace and glory on these new hearts of the Corinthian believers. They were receiving impressions and engravings on their heart all the time. The heart's a tablet, you see. There's writing upon it all the time. It's receiving impressions that will be carried into eternity. The text, however, here in Jeremiah chapter 17, sadly, is not God's law. It is not God's law that is here being written upon the heart of men. The text here is not God's commandments. The text here is not mercy and truth. The text is man's sin, because it says the sin of Judah is written with a pen of iron and with the point of a diamond. It is graven upon the table of their heart. Man's sin is written on his heart. Notice how it is written. You can see it is engraved deeply. It is not a superficial inscribing. It is not a light inscription that is easily brushed away. Sin is not superficial. Sin is not just something that touches the surface of our heart and it can be wiped away easily. No, sin goes deep. Sin is engraved deeply, and sin is not easily removed. It's written with a pen of iron, and with the point of a diamond. That's deep writing, I tell you. Time doesn't blot it out. Time doesn't wear it away. It doesn't rub away easily. The heart is etched, as if written with a pen and with a diamond. Now, a pen of iron was used for cutting inscriptions on rock or in stone. And we know, as the ancients knew, that there is nothing harder than the point of a diamond. It cuts into anything and it graves deeply into the hardest things. And the heart is hard. It's like a stone. But yet sin can cut deeply into it and leave its mark. It's engraving. Yes, the heart is a hard rock. The Bible teaches that. But that is not the main emphasis of the image. The Lord is not just talking about the hardness of the human heart. That's not what he's saying, though that is a true teaching and is taught in other places of Holy Scripture. It's only inferred and implied in this verse. It's not the main teaching of the verse. What is the main emphasis on the verse is the indelible nature of what is written. Sin. It's indelibly engraved in the heart. It's inerasable. It's permanent. Sin leaves a mark that cannot be erased in the human heart as an engraving in stone. You know, there are stones in museums. There are famous large stones with greatly engraved text, multitude of text upon it. And you can go to the museums in London and you can see these large stones. And they're thousands of years old. And the text is nearly as it was the day that it was engraved. The heart is going to judgment day. It may be thousands of years hence. Thousands of years ahead of us. Who can know? And people have died thousands of years ago. And they're going to bring the hearts to the judgment day. And those hearts are as tablets that shall be read. The Bible says the books shall be opened. And all the text shall be read. And the tablet of the human heart shall be uncovered. And the text will be read in the judgment day. Every sin you commit is written with a pen on your heart. The text is read. This is how our guilty heart appears. This is how our guilt is. It's etched deep within. And so I emphasize again tonight, sin is not a light thing. No. Sinners need to think of the deep guilt upon their hearts. Now, we don't like to. We want to think we have nice hearts. We want to think we have good hearts. We want to think that we have sinless hearts. But what does the Bible say? The people which sat in darkness. Did you ever think about that? Why are the people sitting in darkness? Just sitting there in darkness. They are sitting, the Bible says, in the region and shadow of death. Did you ever think of that word, sat? Why would people sit in darkness? Why would the sinner sit in darkness? Why would he not come out under the sound of the gospel? Why would he not come under the searching rays of God's holy word? Why will he sit at home in the darkness? Because he doesn't like this text upon the heart. Doesn't like to see it. Doesn't like to be reminded about it. Wants to think that his heart is fine, that his heart is good. He doesn't want the light of God's word to come to the text that is engraved on the dark heart of sin. They don't like to read it. They don't like to be reminded of the text, the sin. And they don't like the text of the light of the word to come to the text on the heart of their inner man to illuminate it. The text of the word illuminates the text upon the heart. And we don't like to see ourselves. It's true. Of course, we presume to read the text in other people's hearts. We can do that okay. We're fine at that. But not our own. Not our own. We're good. We're basically good. We're fine. It's just other hearts are the sinners. We ourselves don't sit in darkness. Notice what the Lord Jesus Christ says. Men loved darkness. That's what Jesus says. And this is the condemnation indeed that light is come into the world. And men loved darkness. He doesn't say some men. He doesn't say most men. He just said men. He's talking about all men. He's talking about his apostles. He's talking about Peter, James and John. He's talking about everybody around him. He's come into the world. He sees it for himself. What does he say? Men loved darkness. And why? It's because this text is on the heart. That's why. Don't like to read it. It's an ugly story. Don't like to think that text is on my heart. No, not in my heart. That's in somebody else's heart. But not in my heart. I don't want to know that. Men love darkness. Do you think you're different? Do you think you're not in the text? We're all in the text tonight. This is our hearts. None of us must ever be in denial about our sins. The text is there upon all hearts. For all have sinned. All have come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. And years of denial will not wipe it clean. Who can say, the Bible says, who can say, I have made my heart clean? Who can say that? None of us. Who can say, I am pure from my sin? None of us. Not even David. That's why David said, create in me a clean heart. He knew the kind of heart he had. It was written all over. He saw it. He saw it when the word came to it. And he said, Lord, create in me a clean heart. Clean the text away. Wipe it away, Lord. Only God can clean it. Only God can wipe the deep ingrained text away. Only God can put new text on the tablet of the heart. The text of His holy law upon our hearts. Only God can do that. Only the blood of Jesus Christ can remove what the pen of iron and the point of a diamond has deeply etched. The blood of Christ alone can remove it. It's a decorated heart. It is also a departing heart. We read there in verse 5, cursed be the man, the Lord is saying this, the man that trusteth in man and maketh flesh his arm. What kind of a man is that? He's a man whose heart departeth from the Lord. Here's the human heart. It has the seed of apostasy. The heart tends to leave the Lord and to go after other things. It contains unbelief, and unbelief leads to departure. The fool has said in his heart, there's no God. It's in the heart where this seed of atheism is, where this departure is, and all human hearts have this. And the apostle had to write to the Hebrews and he says, brethren, he's talking to Christians. He says, brethren, take heed lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Take heed you don't have that heart. It's the seed in our hearts. It's there. The heart is prone to wander. It wanders somewhere else. It wanders on to man. It wanders on to the arm of flesh. It wanders on to this and to that and to the other. It wanders to idols. It wanders to trust in man. And it wanders to sin. And it wanders to pleasure. This is the nature of the human heart. It's prone to departure from the living God. The living and true God. It's prone to stop praying. It's prone to stop calling upon God. It's prone to stop reading the Word. It's prone to stop hearing the Word preached. It's prone to stay away from the light. It's prone to depart from the truth. It's prone not to walk under the light of the Word. It's prone to wander from it. That's the human heart. And that's what the Bible teaches. This is the biblical theology of the heart. It departs from God. It is not seeking and searching and pursuing the truth. It's not. You know, atheists can pretend that that's what they do. They can lock themselves in their laboratories and they can pretend we're seeking the truth. We're seeking the truth in science. We're seeking the truth in measurements. We're seeking the truth in analysis of the scientific facts. We're seeking truth through the microscope and through the telescope. We're seeking truth through the space rockets and the satellites and the vessels of exploration which we send to the distant planets. We are seeking the truth. But their hearts are trusting in man. And their hearts are trusting in man's ingenuity and man's technology and man's reasoning faculties and man's abilities. And all the while they have concluded, there's one fact that must stay out the laboratory because we can't prove whether it's a fact or not. And that must stay outside the laboratory and all of our analysis, the fact that God is. The intelligent human heart of man departs from God, leaves him outside. That's the human heart. It's a heart problem that atheists have. It's a heart problem that all men have. It's not just some men that have this problem. We all have it. There's no point deluding ourselves. There's no point saying, I'm okay. My heart's sinless. Well, most times. It just needs some fine-tuning. I have mostly a good heart. If someone annoys me, well, perhaps it gets a wee bit out of tune and it just isn't right then. A bit out of tune? That's not what the Bible calls it. It's not even how this one chapter in the book of Jeremiah is not how it calls it. Such a heart has a curse upon it. Departure from God carries a curse. The heart is cursed. Cursed be the man that trusteth in man and maketh flesh his arm and whose heart departeth from the Lord. Leaving and forsaking God to follow our hearts. Whenever we do that, we carry an anathema, a curse. Jeremiah has in his mind here the Psalm 1. There's no question about that. He plays with this theme of cursing and blessing. He talks later on about the blessed man. We're just focusing on the cursed man. A heart that departs from God has no blessing. In fact, the curse is not just upon the heart. It's upon the whole man. Cursed is the man whose heart departeth from the Lord and who maketh man his trust and maketh flesh his arm. The Bible says he'd be like the heath in the desert. Little shrub. He'll not see when good comes. He'll inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, the salt land not inhabited. Oh, the human heart is dried up and shriveled. And it's seeking water in other fountains and it's never satisfied. Its thirst is never quenched. It's in the pursuit and it never finds. It's just like the heath in the wilderness, all dried up and shriveled up. And it doesn't enjoy any blessing at all. That's a man whose heart departs from God. That's the human heart. And then the human heart is a deceitful heart. Verse 9. The heart is deceitful. Now the word deceitful here is an unusual word. It's not the usual Hebrew word for deceitful. It only occurs a small number of times in the Hebrew scriptures. It's translated crooked. In Isaiah 40, verse 4, every valley shall be exalted, every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked the deceitful shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. Now, there's an image in this word, and I think you have to get it. It's the opposite of straight. It's crooked. And sometimes the word can be used to describe a hill. It's like a hill. What does a hill do to the landscape? It makes it crooked. You have a plain, and you can see across the plain, and you can see to the far side of the plain. But if there's a hill there, you can see nothing. Nothing beyond. It's crooked. And you can't see over it, because it's crooked. There's a swelling, and you're short-sighted, and you can see nothing. A straight road you can see right down to the end, but a crooked and twisted road you can see nothing, only up to the corner. And God is saying our heart's like that. It's crooked. It may be an intelligent heart. It may be able to get degrees and masters of arts and all of this, and doctors of theology and doctors of philosophy, but it can't see very far because it's crooked. Can't see the reality in the distance because it's twisted. There's a swelling that makes it not able to see. A hill obscures the view, and that hill is the deceitfulness of the human heart. You can't see the reality. You can't see far. You can't see long down the lane of truth. It's a deceitful heart. It doesn't let you see the right. It doesn't let you see beyond. Your perception of things is wrong because of your heart. This is what's wrong with the atheist. Because his heart is crooked. He can't see beyond. What I'm saying is, it's not just that our hearts deceive others. That's not what the text is about. It's not about deceiving others. You can do that, and we do that. And the Bible says the wicked does deceive others. But this is not about deceiving others. This is about deceiving yourself. Self-deceit. That's what the text is about. Our hearts are deceitful to us. Deceit in the heart of them that imagine evil. It does come out of the human heart, this deceit. The Bible teaches that. Out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts, adulteries, murders, thefts, deceit. But I'm not talking about what's coming out of it to others. I'm talking about what is in it upon ourselves. Our hearts deceive us. Our hearts don't allow us to see the reality of ourselves. And that's really the emphasis in the text. Our heart doesn't allow us to see our true state because it's deceitful. Isaiah 44 verse 20 says, "He feedeth on ashes, a deceived heart hath turned him aside." He thinks he has a great mind. He thinks this is wonderfully edifying. It's ashes. Why would a man feed on ashes? Why would a man feed his soul on the dunginess of this world? What's the problem? His heart has turned him astray. His heart has deceived him. It's a deceitful heart. And he's feeding on ashes and he thinks it's wonderful. He's having a wonderful life on these ashes. Paul calls it a foolish heart. The invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, he says. They're being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead. So that when men knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations and their foolish heart. That's the problem. It's a deceitful heart. It's a foolish heart. Our desires are often not right, not good, not what we need. Our heart says that's good. That's good for us when it's bad for us. Our hearts say we are good when we're bad. It deceives us all the time. That's the nature of the human heart. We can never even tell the true nature of our heart. We don't even know our heart. We don't. We can never know its real name. That's the force of that word there. Who can know it? Who can know it? The heart calls sin good and good evil. The heart camouflages the reality to fit in with what our desires are, and it seems all right and all acceptable. It speaks peace to us when there's no peace. It endlessly suggests things contrary to the truth. Maybe you've even heard the expression, follow your heart. Haven't some ministers even given that counsel? Just follow your heart. That's the most foolish counsel you could ever give a man. Follow your heart. You can't follow your heart. He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool, the Bible says. Why? Because the heart is deceitful. You can't trust even in your own heart. You can only trust in God's word. It's what the book says. It's what God says. It's how the word guides us. Not how our hearts guide us. What foolish folly to say such a thing. Notice how the text describes the degree of this deceit. The heart is deceitful above all things. The Lord is not just content to say it's deceitful. He looks at it, he compares it with everybody else and all the other creatures, and God has to say it's deceitful. It's the most deceitful thing of all in the whole universe. God says, I've never seen anything like a human heart. That's what God says. It's more deceitful than all else. It's the most deceitful of all things. It's the most crooked thing of all in the universe. Think of all the things that are crooked. And the heart is more crooked than any of those. In England, there's a famous public house, and it's appropriately named the Crooked House. But I tell you this, it's no comparison to the house of our hearts. It's a crooked house in truth. And there never was a crooked house like it. You've heard the rhyme, and there was a crooked man, he walked a crooked mile, and all those crooked things. None of them are like the heart of a man. This is our hearts. We can't listen to it. We can't follow it. We can't think it's right. There's only one thing we can follow. It's the book. That's our all. It's a depraved heart. The prophet adds, and it's the Lord speaking, I the Lord, the prophet adds, and desperately wicked. Desperately wicked. Our hearts are wicked. The Lord is telling us this, I remind you. He's telling us this about every heart. And don't anybody think this isn't my heart. Don't anybody think this isn't my heart. The text doesn't say, a heart is deceitful. The text doesn't say some hearts are deceitful. The text doesn't say many hearts are deceitful. The text doesn't say unconverted hearts are deceitful. The text says the heart. The heart of a man is desperately wicked. He's talking about the heart of every man. The human heart. What is the human heart? In essence, wicked. That's what God says. You'll not find a clearer definition of the human heart in all the Bible than here. This is it. That's why it's right to highlight it. It's wicked. And the marvelous thing about it is so deceitful that it doesn't even let us see how wicked it is. That's a reality. That's the truth. That's what God's word says. So don't anybody think here they've got a good heart. This is why the Bible pictures us. This is what we are by nature. It's corrupt. God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. The degree of wickedness is described and brought out by the word desperate. It's desperately wicked. It stinketh. This word gives an idea of corruption, of putrefaction. It's worse than a dead body in the tomb. It's incurable. It is a disease that is beyond healing. It is putrid, vile, and unclean. This is the word that God uses. This is the human heart. And it's a deep heart. Who can know it? I, the Lord, He alone knows the heart. I, the Lord, search the heart. And so the Lord knows, but man doesn't know, because there's a depth in the human heart. It's deep. You know, the universe is deep, dark and deep and beyond the bounds. And in the opposite end, there is a boundless depth to the human heart. Down, down deep in the distant caverns of our heart, where we don't even know a thing about what even is down there. It's like a deep, dark ocean, and we don't know what inhabits those caverns. There's plenty of things in there for Satan to come and get. Remember how the Lord Jesus says, "The prince of this world cometh, he has nothing in me." He can go down into the depths of my heart. He can go down deeply. He won't even get in. But should he be able to go down deep into the depths, there's nothing in the caverns of that pure man's heart. But our hearts are different. He has things in us. The seeds of depravity are deep. The deceit is deep. Beyond discovery, root out all you try. You will never get to the seeds. It's like some cancers. Pull out and plunge out the tumors, but cells are still deep within. The seeds of apostasy are deep. We can't even search them out. We can't discover them. No matter how much we read our Bibles, no matter how much we pray, one knows the depths only. The Lord. I, the Lord, search the heart. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. The Lord looketh on the heart. Thou hast searched me and known me. Search me, O God, and try my heart, and see and know my thoughts. And see if there's a wicked way in me down in there. And lead me in the way everlasting. O Lord, have mercy upon me, because I do not know my heart. Create in me, we daily are to pray, a clean heart. And always renew a right spirit within me. The theology of Jeremiah is clear. But it doesn't end there. The theology is not complete in this chapter. He proclaims the gospel too. In other chapters, he has good news for us sinners with such hearts. Chapter 31, for example. The Lord talks about the covenant of grace. He says, "I will put my law in their inward parts, and write it upon their hearts. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord. For they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more." That's the good news of the gospel. Grace. If God becomes our God, if Jesus Christ becomes our Savior, if we believe in Him and receive Him by faith, He through His grace begins a new text. He begins a new writing. He writes this law on our hearts. And he blots away the old text. And he removes the old inscriptions. And he says, I'll blot out their sin. And I won't remember the text anymore. The human heart can have grace. The human heart can have salvation. The human heart can have cleansing and purification, but only through Jesus Christ, our dear Lord. Oh, that blessed and happy day when we shall see him face to face, and this new heart shall be all that we possess in his presence. Grace does that. Grace alone does that. And Jesus Christ alone does that by his precious blood.